Thank you, praise team. This morning I'm going to be sharing from Joshua 23 and 24. But I want to share just one verse this morning where Joshua called the people and encouraged them to make a decision. Verse 15 and of verse 14 and 15 I want to look at here. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers that your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word today. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would be our teacher this morning, that you would lead and guide and direct us into all truth, because your word is truth. Father, today, help us to listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us. And in the name and in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind Satan so that your word and your spirit might move in a powerful way in my heart and life and in the hearts of each one of us today, Lord. We ask that you would conform us to the image of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. And we give you all the glory and the praise and the honor now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Entitled this morning's message, Joshua, an old soldier saying farewell, from Joshua 23 and 24. General Douglas MacArthur appeared before Congress on April 19, 1951, after being relieved of duties by President Truman. His address ended with these moving words: "The world has turned over many times since I took the oath on the plain at West Point, and the hopes and dreams have long since vanished. But I still remember the refrain of one of the most popular barracks ballads of that day, which proclaim most proudly that old soldiers never die, they just fade away. And like the old soldier in the ballad, I now close my military career and just fade away. An old soldier who tried to do his duty as God gave him the sight to see that duty." And you know, we didn't hear much more of Douglas MacArthur after that, did we? The book of Joshua ends with an old soldier saying farewell. Very touching story of the life of Joshua. The setting of this farewell address was at a place called Shechem, a few miles north of Shiloh. Now, you would have thought Shiloh would have been the place to meet, where the Ark of the Covenant would be placed, and it would be their place of worship. But it was at Shechem that he gave this farewell address. This was also the place where Abraham first received the promise that God would give his seed the land of Canaan. This was a special place. The promise came to Abraham at Shechem. And Abraham responded by building an altar to demonstrate his faith in the one true God, Genesis 12, 6 and 7. Second, Jacob stopped at Shechem. He was on his way for Paddan Aram to Bethel, but it was at Shechem that Jacob took care of his family's idols. Remember the story that Rachel had stolen her father's household gods in Genesis 31:19? It was at Shechem that Jacob buried those idols under the oak tree. He had to deal with sin in his own family. It was an important place. And the account is recorded in Genesis 35, verse 4. The third thing is when the Israelites completed the first phase of the conquest of Canaan, they journeyed to Shechem, where Joshua built an altar to Jehovah, inscribed the law of God on stone pillars, and reviewed these laws with all the people, Joshua 8, 30 through 35. And now, once again, Joshua renews the covenant relationship of Israel with their God here in his farewell address. Shechem was a very important place in their lives. What do we know about Joshua? We need a little background about Joshua. Joshua was Moses' aide. He was mentored by Moses. He loved being with Moses in the tent of meeting. He really liked to be with his mentor because he had learned so much from him. Isn't that the way it should be? We should enjoy our mentors in ministry and in Christian life so we can learn from them and glean from their years of experience. Joshua also enjoyed being under the glory spout, where the presence of the Lord was. When he was with his mentor Moses and in the tent of meeting, the presence of the Lord was just so wonderful there. And he loved to stay in that tent of meeting, to be in the presence of the Lord. Is that true of you? You like to stay under the glory spout, to be in the presence of the Lord? To learn from him. He had witnessed the glory of God in the face of Moses. Remember, God spoke with Moses as a friend speaks with a friend. Joshua also commanded his first army under Moses. It was a battle against the Amalekites. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up on the mountain. And as long as Moses held his arms up, they were winning the battle, remember? But he got to the point he couldn't hold his hands up anymore, and Aaron took one arm and Hur took the other, and they held up his hands and they won the battle. And the scripture says, so Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Do you hear anything about the Amalekites today? Their name has been blotted out from under heaven. But the reason Moses was to tell Joshua was because he was to face the Amalekites one more time as they entered the promised land. But it was just a testimony that God was going to win that battle for him. Amazing. You can read about that in Exodus 17, 13 and 14. Joshua was also one of the 12 spies that were sent out. to check out the promised land, and we know this account quite well. Joshua and Caleb had a good report and wanted to go in and possess the land, but the other 10 spies gave a bad report, and they turned the Israelites against Moses and Aaron, and they grumbled against the Lord. And the whole assembly wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. I want to tell you, it's never fun when you suffer for righteousness' sake. Joshua and Caleb, they were about to stone them for doing what was right and what was good and what the Lord desired. But guess what happened? But the 10 spies who gave the bad report and grumbled against the Lord were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. Numbers 14:37. God is a God of justice. And he acted that day. Joshua was also commissioned by his mentor Moses. He was to be Moses' successor and lead the Israelites into the promised land. Deuteronomy 31, verse 7 and 8 says, "Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, 'Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.'" With some great words from his mentor, right? The confidence that as the Lord was with Moses, so he's going to be with you, Joshua. Can there be any greater affirmation than that? And the promise for all of us that our God will never leave us nor forsake us. We don't have to be afraid or discouraged because He's with us. What are we afraid of? And in the first chapter in the book of Joshua, three times, the Lord says to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." Three times. Why did he have to do it three times? Was he hard of hearing, or what was his problem? First of all, Joshua had to be strong and courageous because he was to lead the people to inherit the promised land. This was a crucial time in the history of the nation of Israel. It was a time to fulfill the promise of the Lord to His chosen people. Be strong and courageous. You're going to lead this people. Second, he was to be strong and courageous because of the power of the Word of God. The law was not to depart from his mouth. He was to talk about it. He was to meditate on it day and night. He was to think about it. And he was to obey its commands. And he was to live according to it. He was to talk about it. He was to think about it. And he was to live according to it. Be strong and courageous. Be a man of the Word. That was the second one. And the third one, Joshua was to be strong and courageous because of the presence of the Lord. Joshua was about to face the giants and the fortified cities. But the presence of the Lord would make all the difference. Martin Luther, I believe, said it best. One plus God equals a majority. Hey, that's all you need. If you think you're alone and you have the Lord, you have everything you need. Amen. But Joshua had many obstacles to overcome. Crossing the Jordan was a major task, and we looked at that a few weeks ago. The Israelites were to consecrate themselves before the Lord for 3 days. They needed to get their hearts right before God. And Joshua also needed time to get the marching orders out for these approximately 2 million people that were going to cross this river. If you're unaware of it, it was about a 7-mile journey from there till they got to Gilgal. 2 million people going 7 miles. There needed to be some order, some marching order. Not only that, they were instructed that they could not get any closer than 3,000 feet to the Ark of the Covenant. You know what that is? That's over 10 football fields end-to-end away from that ark. That's one big pass going through a river. And I believe it was wider than that. Does that tell you a little bit about the fear and the holiness of our God? He was dwelling in the Ark of the Covenant. Don't you dare get any closer than those 3,000 feet. A lot of obstacles. Joshua understood, people, the presence and the holiness of God. He had a fear of God that's missing today, sad to say. You know, yesterday evening we had this threat of a tornado watch in our area, and there was hail further down, and all these things were happening. The warnings were going across our screens telling us to go to a place of shelter, and all these warnings. And we watched these things, and we were probably all looking at the sky and so forth. But you know something? That's just a drop in a bucket of the power and the holiness of our God. Like the Lord told Job, who keeps the storehouses of the hail anyway? Who's the one who contains the water and the clouds? Right? He's a God to be feared because He's holy. And Joshua knew that so well. He had witnessed God's at work numerous times. In the wilderness, he watched what happened in Korah's rebellion, and the earth opened up and swallowed them. He had saw the hand of God mighty at work. He also saw the provision of God and the quail and the manna. He had seen a lot. He was a wise man. He also led the nation in numerous battles. He won the Battle of Jericho, right? Where the walls came tumbling down. But the second battle he lost, the battle at Ai. And Joshua started complaining to the Lord. He says, what are we going to do now? The nations around you are going to mock your name. I could just hear God in that conversation. I can take care of myself. There's another problem we have here. And he said there was sin in the camp. Because Achan and his family had taken the plunder from Jericho and had hidden it, thinking that they deserved something for all the years in the wilderness. They had nothing. Wrong. They were trusting in something other than the Lord. And I believe with all my heart, if Achan would have come forward, they wouldn't have had to go through the drawing of straws or whatever the process was there, lots, casting lots. That God would have mercifully forgiven him. I believe that. But because he wouldn't, they went through the process. And the lot fell on Achan. And Achan destroyed them. And his children as well, because they were accomplices in carrying out the plunder. They piled a heap of stones on top of their bodies. Sends quite a message to the rest of the Israelites, doesn't it? Remember what Achan did? There it is. It was sin in the camp. Do you think that's an easy thing for a leader to deal with? No. Is it ever fun or easy to confront someone in sin? I think it's one of the hardest things in ministry. It would be great if everybody would come to a place of repentance when that happens, but it doesn't. And now, we're 15 to 20 years after the Israelites have become settled in the land. They had experienced the milk and the honey, the fruit, the goodness of God, a time of peace, somewhat peace. Now they were beginning to be apathetic. Some had unbelief and disobedient. And Joshua was somewhat disappointed because they didn't receive all that the Lord had wanted to give them. Right? He wanted them to clear out all the enemies. He wanted to give them so much more than what they had. And you know what? To this day, they haven't gotten back all their land. Isn't that sad? They were to take that land way back at Joshua's day. But they didn't. And Joshua here, he speaks on one theme. God's unfailing faithfulness to Israel and their responsibility to be faithful to Him. That's what these last two chapters are all about. And in chapter 23, he talks to the leadership. And I want to say this morning, I want you here today, if you've been in leadership or are in leadership, I want you to listen, because Joshua had words to say for leaders. First of all, Joshua reminded the leaders of Israel that their enemies had been defeated solely because the Lord God had fought for them. The battles were not theirs, but the Lord's. Look at verses 3 through 8 in chapter 23. If you have your Bibles, please do so. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the lands of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the great sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will push them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. Be very careful. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations nor that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. He reminds them of all that God had done for them. Leaders, that should be first and foremost on our minds. Remembering all that God has done for us and the battles He has won for us. We didn't get this far by happenstance, but by God's provision.